Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. Rocket Lab. Bob, all of a sudden, Rocket Lab is mentioned in the Financial Times. What's happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, they had a very good year last year. They did some very smart things, which made them created new profit centers, so totally unexpected. The biggest one was improvising the first stage of their Electron rocket as a suborbital test vehicle for hypersonic testing for the military, and it's won them a lot of contracts. But they're in the news again in that they have won a launch contract from a German satellite constellation called Aurora Technologies. This is a company that's going to put up a satellite for monitoring wildfires globally for firefighting teams. And they hope eventually to have 100 satellites in orbit. Previously, they had given a contract to a German rocket startup, ISAR Aerospace, to launch one of their satellites. But that company hasn't yet launched. And so they've now given a contract to Rocket Lab to launch relatively quickly their satellite. They want to do it within the next few months. And Rocket Lab, so this is a big deal for Rocket Lab, because if they successfully launch on schedule, the 100 satellite contract, they got 199 other satellites to put up, and Rocket Lab could get that as a contract, so it's a big deal.
What's their booster, Bob? Is it recoverable? How does it compare?
No. They have, right now they have one rocket called the Electron rocket, which is totally disposable. They were attempting to make the first stage reusable. They were doing experiments, capturing it. They actually did reuse an engine at one time, but they have put that aside because they're building a new rocket, the Neutron rocket, which is bigger, reusable. First stage will be reusable, and part of the second stage will be reusable. It's a very clever design where the body of the upper stage is actually the fairing, and it's attached to the first stage. So after they've released the payload and the engine for the upper stage, that all comes back with the first stage. So it's a clever design. And they hope to launch this year, that rocket. So that's another reason why they're doing very good, and the Financial Times noticed them.
The company is Rocket Lab, two different words. Finland, not a rocket company. What have they done?
They have become the 53rd nation to sign the Artemis Accords. Once again, the Artemis Accords were created during the first Trump administration with the express purpose of strengthening the idea of private property in space and hopefully to get around the outer space's limitations on private property in space. It's a bilateral agreement between the United States and other countries. 53 countries are now signed, with Finland joining. Finland seems very focused on private enterprise and encouraging its private sector. The Biden administration refocused the purpose of the Artemis Accords to strengthen the outer space treaty, but that's going to go away, I'm sure, now that Trump is president again. He's going to once again use this alliance as a wedge to get changes in that outer space treaty, I think.
Bob,
and that's the good news.
Does Finland have a spaceport yet? I know somebody up there in the north.
No. Finland does not. Finland has private companies that do space-related work. That's what they want to encourage. But in Scandinavia, it's Norway and Sweden that have potential spaceports, with Norway's Andøya spaceport the most likely to succeed because it's right on the coast.
Mega constellation is the new thing. That is Starlink, and now another imitator, that would be the People's Republic of China. What have they got?
Yeah, they have several different giant constellations, low orbit constellations, similar to Starlink, proposed for providing internet globally. Of course, they're really focused on making sure their own people will use their systems, which they can control. They don't want them to use Starlink. And so this week, China successfully completed the sixth launch of 18 satellites for its SpaceSail internet constellation. This constellation will have something like 3,000 satellites. They hope to have close to 600 to 800 of them launched by the end of this year, and they're going to use the Long March 6A rocket to do that. This is a rocket that uses a lot of oxygen and kerosene, so it's not as toxic, and they're very proud of that, but it still dumps its stages within China, so they don't tell us where. This is constellation, not 3,000, it's 1,200 satellites, so they hope to be operational before the end of this year.
Musk says that he wants 12,000 in orbit to give global coverage. Is that a number that other people are going to follow?
Yes, there is a Chinese constellation easily equaling as large. Amazon's is around 3,200, but that could grow as well. There are many constellations being proposed. I don't know if China is going to get more than one up. This one is proceeding pretty fast, the one I just mentioned, the SpaceSail. But the others are not moving so quickly.
Now, these constellations are all low Earth orbit, right?
Yeah, a variety of low Earth orbit. They can go up higher or lower. They have to, of course, coordinate or design themselves for different orbits so they don't conflict with each other. And even if China doesn't care often, it has to do that here because its own system won't work very well if it conflicts with others.
One other question. I know that Starlink has a ground station just north of me in Litchfield County. Does that mean everybody has ground stations all over the world when they have a...
No, and Starlink generally doesn't work with major ground stations. Starlink generally works direct from you, the customer, and you're, in this case you, to the satellites in orbit. The dish they give you looks at the satellites in orbit. OneWeb's constellation does use ground stations. The satellites in orbit communicate with ground stations, which then communicate with the customers on the ground. It depends on the design. And I'm not sure what others are designed to do. I suspect Amazon will work similar to SpaceX.
The reason I ask, Bob, is because China would not be automatically invited to have ground stations around the world.
Yeah, their focus here is they're designing this constellation similar to Starlink to work directly with their specific customers on the ground.
Here's an idea, Bob. NASA needs a new headquarters. Not in Washington, in some other state. Can you recommend one, Bob?
Well, I would say several. Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, has already said, move it to Florida. And this week, Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna of Florida, she said the same thing. Move the NASA's headquarters to Florida. And in doing so, you can reduce the size of the headquarters as well. Now, Trump's space transition team, it had already recommended reducing the size of NASA's headquarters. It's much too big. It doesn't have to be that large. With private enterprise doing most of the work, you don't really need a lot of people at headquarters. At the same time, there's also no reason for it to be in Washington, D.C. You could move it out of the D.C. area for a lot of good reasons. And so now you have a second representative in Florida pushing for this move to Florida. There's a lot to be said for Florida. Well, first of all, it's where rockets are launched. Secondly, they have facilities and space there already available. They can just lease space very easily on the Space Coast that's space-related. And so it's not a bad idea.
Why was it in Washington to begin with, given that we know that Florida's always been at the center of the American space program?
This always has to do with politics, John. One of the reasons NASA has centers scattered throughout the whole country is because congressional people want them in multiple areas. And putting the headquarters in D.C. puts them in a better lobbying position for convincing Congress to give them more money. And so that's one of the reasons it was put there, because the whole purpose of a lot of this is just simply jobs programs. And so giving NASA a good position to lobby means a good position to get more jobs for congressional districts.
One more NASA question. There's a new Congress. There's a new president. There's lots of activity. Is NASA in good favor with the Republican majority or bad favor?
I would say generally in good favor, because once again, the Republican majority wants private enterprise, and NASA has basically done a very good job of transitioning from trying to build things itself to having the private enterprise do it for. It's been very positive for the industry. So yes, kind of Republicans, I think generally, it's actually somewhat bipartisan here. The Congress is very favorable with what NASA's been doing recently.
Except for SLS and the Mars sample return.
Yeah, the big boondoggles that NASA's been trying to fund and build have definitely worked against NASA in those ways. But the Congress is actually beginning to understand the distinction. And so that's why those government programs are in trouble, but the private enterprise funding for NASA is not.
Speaking of NASA, there is a federal government-wide executive order requiring all agencies, all parts of the administration, to immediately do away with the DEI offices, which I understand, depending upon where you are, Commerce or EPA, can be large or small, can be integrated into the headquarters in Washington or spread throughout the country. Has NASA also received the order, Bob?
Oh, yeah, NASA received the order. But NASA, the new acting administrator, Janet Petro, she immediately sent out a memo shutting down all the diversity, equity, and inclusion offices within NASA, all of them, and to be shut down as of the 22nd of January, right away. There was no question about it. She said, we're going to do this. She also made it a point that the agency is going to suspend or put on paid leave all those employees that were doing this kind of work, and with the intention over the next few months of basically eliminating the jobs. Save the money. It can be used much more effectively building, you know, encouraging the construction of rockets and technology for space instead of favoring some races over others.
And that is the big success of NASA. It's converting itself from paying for things and hiring everybody to build in order, instead, it's become a customer of the private enterprise. That's the success.
That's correct. That's correct. And in this case, this decision to shutter those DEI offices is to get its focus in the right place, not in the wrong place. And so that executive order was very smart, and some agencies have been trying to fight it. They're going to find out they can't do that. But NASA has not fought it at all. It's very aggressively cleaned house right away. It'll take a little time to transfer all the funding to other things, but it will be happening within the next few months.
The new administrator named by the Trump administration is Jared Isaacman, the astronaut. However, you've told me that Janet Petro was chosen to surprise Washington. Remind everybody who she is, Bob.
Yes, she was a director at the Kennedy Space Center for like two decades. She's not a headquarters person. She's from outside, from Florida, no less. Interesting, considering the demands to move the headquarters to Florida. So her pick suggests that the Trump administration is strongly considering that move. She also, being an outsider, would have much less problem reducing staffing at headquarters. She's not tied in with those people, and so it won't be as personally difficult for her to fire people, to lay people off. So that's another reason why she was chosen. Isaacman has problems, by the way, because he has been a supporter of Democratic politicians for many years, and a lot of Republican senators have noted that he also was very enthusiastic about DEI in his own companies. That was going to be something he'll have to deal with in his Senate hearings and his nomination.
Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Janet Petro, Cape Canaveral. Bob, it's beginning to look like a trend. Does NASA read the tea leaves? Florida is.
I think it doesn't matter whether the NASA reads the tea leaves. It's whether the tea leaves reads NASA in this case.
And you believe the Florida thing will, the Florida move will happen, or is it just lobbying?
I don't know if it's going to happen, but what it tells me is that there is real change coming here, and the Trump administration is not afraid to do it.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.